Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another New Beginnings Ministry broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening by phone and you'd like to interact with us in our discussion this evening, please call 347-237-4054 and press 1. Spread the news, spread the news, spread the news. Welcome again. I'm Dr. Suzanne, and we have Norm here with me, and we have a few other callers on the line.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Tonight we have a special program. We have a guest speaker who is online with us now, I believe. Are you there, Apostle Sam?
Yes, I am.
Good, good. I'd like to introduce you first. Well, let's pray first, and then I will introduce you. Father God, thank you so much for this evening, dear Lord. Thank you, Lord, for technology and the ability, Father God, to minister over the airwaves. We thank you, Father God, for each and every person that is listening live, Father God, and for each and every person that will listen to our archives, Father. We thank you, Father God, that you would direct our discussion this evening, Father God, that everything that we say and do will be pleasing before you, Father God, and will be edifying to the kingdom. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We just adore you, Father God. In Jesus' sweet name, sweet and holy name, we just thank you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight I'd like to introduce our guest speaker. His name is Apostle Samuel Chase. Apostle Samuel Chase is the founder and overseer of Kingdom Power Worship Ministries International. He truly expresses his heart's concern for educating and empowering ministerial leaders and inspiring leaders as well. There has always been a concern for community activities and family downfall. Things like homelessness, abuse, poverty, and abandonment, just to name a few, is what fuels Apostle Chase's passion to reach not only his local city, but his world as a whole. Apostle Sam, as he's affectionately called, teaches, writes, and has wonderful musical abilities, which have aided him in reaching thousands of souls and destroying a plethora of demonic strongholds in families, marriages, ministries, and regions. His ministry statement has always been reaching all nations, reaching all people, reaching all concerned. This is the God-given mandate on his life. Apostle Sam was born in South Bend, Indiana, and grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. He and his family attend Faith Mission Church of God in Christ under the leadership of Bishop Hubert Lambert, Jr. Apostle Sam began ministry at the age of 17 under the tutelage of his grandfather, Pastor Samuel Chase, Jr. of Second Baptist Church. He went on to serve under the leadership of Pastor Anthony R. Pettis, Sr. of Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church. In 1992, he met his wife, Denise, and was married on June 12, 1996. He was then under the leadership of Bishop Ira Cobb of Greater Bible Way Temple. He is now the proud father of two sons. He also has an abundance of spiritual children that he mentors. Apostle Sam was ordained an apostle by his current leadership, Apostles Henry and Sabrina Franklin. The world has not yet met the best of Apostle Samuel Chase, but keep watching because he's coming to a city near you. New Beginnings Ministry and our faithful listeners, please welcome Apostle Samuel Chase.
Amen. God bless you, Kingdom people. I hope everybody can hear me okay. Amen.
Yes.
It's a delight to be able to share the word of God with you on tonight. As we have been through the work week and things have been going on, it's a time to refuel and refocus our minds, heart, and spirit. Amen. And through the word of God, that's possible. As I understand, I've been talking about kingdom worship, and I wanted to kind of continue on that word, it's a powerful thing. But you got to understand, when you talk about kingdom worship, you're actually talking about worshiping the king's domain. when you talk about kingdom worship, you're actually talking about worshiping the king's domain, which the king's domain, what is the domain? It's a dominion. It's a power. It's an authority. So we worship the authority of Jehovah, which is our self-existing God, you know. And this is where we come into where the Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, it takes a kingdom mindset in order to worship Jehovah God. Amen. You just can't have any type of mindset and lifestyle and say, I'm going to bring this worship before God, because your first worship is your lifestyle, you know. And so we look at, we're going to go into a couple of scriptures. Not going to be before you long tonight. Amen. I'm going to give opportunities for people to ask questions and give comments if they would like to. But we're going to jump right into the Word of God as we're talking about worshiping the King's domain. Amen. We'll start with Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 15. Amen. And it says, Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Let me read that again. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Now let's skip over to Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Numbers chapter 23. Verse 19, and it reads as such. It says, God is not a man. Yeah, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Amen. We're living in a society today where it's hard for people to worship God because they're not seeing anything. They're not seeing any evidence of the true and living God. They're not seeing the power being manifested in the earth of, you know, our Jehovah Savior, God. You know, and so this is a cry out right now that you hear ringing all over the earth. Now they're telling us, watch this, they're telling us, okay, you say you worship a true and living God, and then they turn around and ask the question, what if you worship a true and living God, where is he at? Has anybody been approached with that question where they say, if the God that you worship is so alive and real and he's able to do miraculous things, and he has all this power, where is he at? See, this is what Jeremiah was faced with when the people didn't receive what they felt they should have got from God. See, now they were God's chosen people, but yet they still grumbled and complained all the way, all the time, never stop. We can see that same scenario in the earth today where all over the place people are saying, where is God? Let him come now. Where is the word of the Lord? Where is God's word at? You say God talk, how come he ain't talking? How come all this calamity? How come all this trouble? How come all this, man? How come this problem? How come Afghanistan? How come Al-Qaeda? How come the situation that happened over and I believe it was in Colorado at the movie theater. How come 9/11? How come if your God is so real, why is he and loving? Why is he allowing this stuff to happen? People are asking the same question that they asked Jeremiah over 3,000 years ago, saying, "Where is the word of the Lord?" No matter how much we preach, how much we teach, how much we lay hands on the sick, how much we do this, that, and other, the same question that rings through this earth is, where is God? If we're supposed to worship God, where is he? Because if we're supposed to worship him, I can't see him. That's what people are saying. That I don't know about nobody else, but that's what I get approached with when I talk to people who are homeless, okay, and those who are in poverty, and then those, and when I talk to the millionaires, when I talk to the wealthy people, they come with me with the same question. They got one thing in common: they don't believe God. They don't believe God. The poor and the needy don't believe him because their needs are not being met, and the rich and the wealthy don't believe God because they can pay their own bills. You know, they can do what they need done on their own, with their own money, with their own power. So their thing is, why do I need God? But the poor and the needy say, where is God? So mm-hmm. Both of them have the same thing in common concerning God. Now, the Bible said, now, when he created us, God created us to worship him. Oh, my Lord. God created us to worship, not just me, not just Suzanne, not just Denise, not just John, but God created everybody that was ever made, everybody that was ever born in the United States, and Mexico, and Russia, and China, and Africa, and Japan, and Liberia, wherever they were at, whatever continent they lived on, whatever their name was, whatever culture they come from, they were created to worship. But something has happened that has caused the mind of man and the heart of man to withdraw from worshiping God. And it's because they don't see the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I just want to put out a challenge tonight. I just really want to put, because I believe that everybody that called in is probably saved and probably got some type of ministry going on. And I teach our leaders this. Your greatest form of worship is your example in the earth of who God is. You have to excuse me because I'm naturally just a teacher of leaders. So if I hit some leadership things, if you are a leader, don't let it offend you. Let it prune you. And if you're not a leader, you're gonna be a leader. So take it. All right. So they're asking where is God? And we're supposed to be the example. People are supposed to see God in us. People are supposed to worship God through our acts. Woo! Lord have mercy. People are supposed to worship God, reach God through our actions, through our mighty exploits that we're supposed to be doing. So the worship of man, the way man was created, the worship of man, the way man was created, I'm saying it again, the worship of man, the way man was created, is not being fulfilled because of the lack of self emulating worshipers or God doers that we should be. It's mm-hmm. lacking. It's lacking in the earth. It's lacking in the earth. How many times when you find yourself in a situation and your flesh go to rising up? How can the people around you when you go to pay your gas bill, how can the people around you begin to worship God if you're there telling the teller all? How can the people of God begin to worship when the bill collectors call you? How can the bill, because they was created to worship too, how can they worship God when you are cussing and fussing with them?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. How can you yet stand in a place as an emblem, as a statue of worship towards God when your actions don't match your words?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just like the karate movies. You know, they list me saying, be moving one thing, but you hear another thing. You know, the audio and the video ain't matching up. So it's confusing. It's confusing to the people of who are we supposed to worship. My God, if you ever want to know anything about the church, put your ear to the streets. If you ever want to know anything about your local church, put your ear to the street if you want to know the truth. Because dirt stay on the street. Now, you tend to get cleaned up before you come into church, but you leave your dirt out on the street. And so those who know your dirt in the street, they know your works. Come on, somebody. They know your worship. They know that you ain't worshiping and living the way that you say you are. So where is the word of the Lord? Is the word of the Lord is supposed to be in us. Jeremiah went on to say, Lord, they asking me, where is your word? Let it come now. And Jeremiah went on to say, that look, Lord, I have not hastened from being the pastor that you called me to be. That's verse 16. He said, I have not stopped being the man of God, the woman of God, the servant of God that you have called me to be. So, God, what is the problem? What is the problem? We have to understand that if we going to turn this world upside down and bring it to where God wanted it, it's not going to come through hooping in your preaching. It's not going to come through speaking in tongues. It's not going to come through shouting and dancing till you tear the carpet up. It's going to come through your worship. And the worship that is going to come through is the lifestyle worship.
Mm.
So now we're talking about kingdom worship, right? So we're talking about worshiping the king's domain. The king's domain is his dominion. What is God's dominion? God's dominion is God's word. So we go over to Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. You find the scripture says, God is not a man. Now, I know we used to running that all together, but we're going to stop at God is not a man. See, that's one problem with the worship of the world. They look for a godly thing in a man's way.
Mm-hmm.
But God is not a man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at our current election thing that's going on. You got the two heavy hitters now. You got Obama, which is our current president, and you got Mitt Romney, who is running for president. They present the issues that when they say, when I get in office, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna change this, I'm gonna make this better. We're gonna be a stronger nation. This, that. Now I've been hearing that since I noticed politics when I was about 9 years old. Now I'm about 39 years old now, but when I started listening to the news, I was about 9 years old. So in about 30 years of my life, I have not yet seen anybody change anything that they said that they was gonna change. I have not yet seen the manifestation of the politicians that they said that they was going to do this and do that. And so they do change some things, but it's not exactly how they said they're going to change. So it loses its power. You see what I'm saying? And so the people go to saying again, well, we can't trust. No, you can't trust what they said because they're man. They're not God. You know? God is not a man. The answer to your life situations, your family situations, your loved ones that are strung out on drugs, your loved ones who are sick, your loved ones who are being tormented by demonic spirits, the answer is not in man. It's not going to come by the way that we think it's going to come by. Their answer is through our worship, and our worship will take them to where the word of God is. Our lifestyle would take them to where where you say, well, I've been living right before them for 40, 50 years. You know what? You keep living right before them. I guarantee at some point in time in their life, something is going to snap in their mind. It might only snap for 30 minutes, but it's going to snap. You did your job. But your thing is not to look, not your responsibility is not the outcome. Your responsibility is the putting forth of.
Mm-hmm.
God does not hold you responsible for how people receive him, because the Bible said that they don't reject us, they reject him. But your responsibility is being that which God said for you to be.
Mm-hmm.
So God is not a man. Where is the word of the Lord? The question is that God is not a man. You know, you know, God is not a man. Where is God? God is not a man. You can't see God. I talked about this a little bit on Sunday at our Sunday service. You can't see God, and people say, well, I don't feel God's word. You can't feel God's word. You hear God's word, You know, that's the problem now. We too much in our feelings and emotions, and I don't feel this, and I feel this way, and I don't feel, and I feel that, and all this feeling is going on. God is not concerned about your feelings. All this emotional stuff that you're trying to put before God, God is like, look, okay, I understand that you're not, that you haven't, but get before me and worship. So that you can be a statue of worship so other people can get to me. You know? So you cannot feel God's word. Just like when I speak, I kind of put my hand in front of one of the minister's mouth. I told him to say something, and he said something. And I said, I can't feel that with my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Words are not tangible. Words
mm-hmm.
are not tangible. Words, you cannot feel. You cannot feel words. The word of God comes out the same way that your word come out of your mouth. It comes through the breath of God, because He breathes in you, and so the same breath that God breathes in you is the breath that you take and exhale every day, and that breath is what pushes out your word. So if you didn't have breath, you wouldn't be able to talk. Now, am I right? So what you cannot feel, word is not tangible, but word is understood. Word is not touched and handled with, but it is heard and understood. See, God knew that if we could touch something, we could destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man can, whatever man touch, he has the ability to destroy it. Anything that he touches, he has the ability to touch it. God knew that. God knew that, look, if I give them the ability to touch word, if I make word tangible, they'll be able to destroy the preached word. But because the preached word is not tangible to man, and it cannot be destroyed. So therefore, the word of God is to be heard and understood and implemented. So where is the word of the Lord? The question is, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. The answer is, the word of the Lord has come, but God is not a man. And because he's not a man, he ain't going to lie. See, he has no reason to lie. And that's another thing. God, you cannot be a true worshiper and be a liar.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be a true worshiper and be a liar. If truth is not in you, how can you worship God in spirit and truth when truth is not in you? Can somebody answer that question for me?
Mm-hmm.
How can you worship God when truth is not in, when the spirit of truth is not in you? Didn't the Bible say that them that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth? So how can I worship God if I'm a liar? And
mm-hmm.
like my mama used to say, you's a liar and the truth ain't in you. How can we? You know, we got to look at that kind of stuff. We got to look at our conduct. We got to look at how, we got to look at our lifestyle. Our lifestyle is our greatest form of worship. And we've been hearing that since the series has been going on. But you got to understand it. You know, but you cannot expect people to come running to God if your lifestyle is not a statue of worship. And if when your life, we say, okay, Apostle, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. When you say your lifestyle is a statue of worship, that means that your life is going to line up with the word of God. Because God's word never fails. God's word doesn't lie. It doesn't lie. You know? So God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. God don't have to repent to himself because he has no reason to repent, because he has no reason to lie. Now, this word God in this text comes from Jehovah, which means the self-existing God.
Amen.
So if God is self-existent, there's no need for him to create a lie. You know why people lie, right? Why? Somebody answer this question. Why do people lie? I want to put that out on the floor.
Okay, let's see who we have some answers to it. Would anyone like to respond to Apostle Chase's question? Why do people lie? All the lines are open.
Sometimes people lie in order to protect themselves or to make themselves look good or to maybe honor themselves, to put themselves before God. So that may be a reason for people to lie. But there are a variety of reasons.
All right. Anybody else?
Well, people lie because they feel that they need to hide.
Mm-hmm.
They need something to hide, and that just like with Adam and Eve, they hid. They
mm-hmm.
hid when they weren't in line with what the Lord would have them to do in line with the kingdom. Well, they hid, and so people hide.
Mm-hmm. So why can't God lie? Because God don't need to hide, because he's self-existent. He's all powerful. Why cannot lie? Another reason is because he don't have to make himself look good to nobody. Not even you.
Amen.
He's not concerned how he appears to you.
Mm-hmm.
He's concerned how you appear to him. So God don't have to hide. He don't have to make himself look good. He don't have to prove anything because he's self-existent. And so who made God? God. Nobody made God. God exists.
Amen.
There's no end. There was no beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And so when we talk about worshiping the king's domain, you even worshiping the self existence, you're worshiping God, you're worshiping God's existence. Now, because God self exists, when he breathed into Adam, he released a lot of things into Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he released into Adam was existence. It wasn't self-existent. Now, we couldn't get everything that was in God. Okay? But, but you can get a piece of everything that was in God. You know, our minds and our body cannot handle everything that's in God, but we can handle pieces of what's in God. Now, am I right? So,
Amen.
So now, we cannot turn around and create another man, can we?
No,
we can't. No. But we can build robots to look like man. See, that's a piece of God in us.
Yes, amen.
You know, we can't turn around and create birds. We can't make birds out of dirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we can turn around and build airplanes and hang gliders and things like that. That's a piece of God. That's a
mm-hmm.
portion of God that was released into us.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So with God being a self-existent God, it just gave us the ability to exist. But yet and still, we have the eternalness of the self-existing God, Jehovah.
Amen.
Now, we would never have the full eternalness. Why? Because he was there before time was. You see what I'm saying? Now, we have eternal life from the time that Adam was created. All right, when he began to make man, even before Adam, when God began to harvest souls within himself, wow. Before he released, before he kicked Lucifer out of the heavens and all that kind of stuff, God was harvesting souls within himself. He was creating you and I. He was forming us before we were in our mother's womb. Can you imagine every being that has ever been born was in God? Every soul that has ever walked this whole earth was in God first.
Yes, that's right.
Wow.
Can you handle something like that? Can you handle something like, can you wrap your mind? I bet you it's been trillions of people that have walked this earth from the beginning of man till now. I guarantee you it's been trillions of people. I guarantee you it's been a number that we can't even number. But that number that we can't number, God was harvesting within himself all that time. And when time came, he would release a soul. He would release a soul. He would release a soul. And he gave them the option to come back to him. So he released a soul, and one come back. He might release five, only three come back. But either way it was, they had the ability to come back. Our worship gives man the ability to come back to God. Our lifestyle gives man, the people that are lost, it gives the sinners the option and the ability to come back to God.
Amen.
Because God is the self-existence. God is not a man. Ain't that what the scripture says? That he should lie. And he ain't going to repent because he has no reason to repent. You know, he has no reason to repent. The reason why man sin is because man is selfish in nature, S-I-N, selfish in nature. That's why man sin. And that means that, you know, man wants to fulfill himself because he wants to feel good. He wants to feel what's right to him. God don't have that issue. God don't have that issue because he's self-existent. He don't need to feel nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And, you know, God is a spirit, right? So he don't need to feel anything. God is just there, and he's everywhere. You know, you got people say they don't believe in God, and the atheists got their whole thing going on. And I actually ministered to an atheist, and their life changed around. And, you know, and one thing I told them, I said, in order for you to say that you don't believe in God, you've got to know that he exists. In order for anybody to say that they don't believe in something, they have to know first that it exists. Because we cannot turn down something that's not there. I'll say it again. We cannot turn down anything that's not there. Something has to be present for you to say, I don't want that. You know, it's just like, you know, it's just like somebody come and offer you some drugs. You can take it or you can leave it. But it's there. You can never say that drug didn't come before you because it was there. What? So God is there. God is everywhere. But for you to say you don't believe in him, you know, you're saying that, you know he's there, but it's just your choice to ignore him. You know. Any questions or comments?
I'm opening the lines again for questions and comments. Any questions or comments? All lines are open.
I would say, you know, as far as faith is a very important thing. We talk about as Numbers 23:19, God is not a human being, but by faith, it's demonstrated by works and by action. And so anyway, we take in God's word and avoid hypocrisy and do his and spread his word, the gospel, by our actions. And God lives within us. And we you know, Bible study, church, and God's word, the Bible. That's our life that we walk by. But we also demonstrate that by our actions and by word.
Amen.
Amen. Any more questions or comments? All right, let's move on. So back to Numbers 23 and 19, that God is not a man, that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man, that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall not he do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall it not make it good? Now let's look at these words in the scripture. You see the word said, and you see the word spoken. If you saying something, there's words involved. If you're speaking something, there's words involved. See, the word of God, is God's word is everywhere. When he said, let there be light, what happened?
Light.
There's light.
Okay, did light stop?
No.
Still here, right?
Still here.
So God is not a man that he should lie. Because if he said light, and light came, and then he allowed, you know, light to stop, well, that mean that he reneged on his word. Okay, maybe I'm getting a little too deep for everybody. But,
no,
you know,
no, that's good. That's good.
You know, if God, when he said, let us make man in our image, he spoke that. He said it. Creation was based on God speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if creation was to stop before its time, that would mean that God reneged on his word.
Wow, that's right. Mm-hmm.
If you, being in God, working in ministry, doing the things that God is telling you to do, if God was to take away your ability to do what you do, that would mean that God reneged on you and he lied.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But my brothers and sisters, God never reneges on what he said, because he don't have to renege on what he said. See, this is why we can worship God. This is why we can have kingdom worship. This is why we can worship the king's domain, is simply because what God said, he cannot renege on it, and he's going to make sure it come to pass, whether we don't want it to come to pass or not.
Amen.
Now, who wouldn't want to worship a God like that? Ooh, Jesus, have mercy.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, I have to flip the coin on you, because yet we say these things and we present these things, but yet it's hard for people to see God through us. Because our lifestyle of worship is just not where it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us go to family reunions. Now, we won't drink no beer, no alcohol, or nothing all year long. But when
right.
we get amongst our kinfolk,
mm-hmm.
we won't get on the dance floor all year long. We won't do the Harlem Shuffle. We won't do the electric slide, we won't even do the hokey pokey. But when we get amongst kinfolk, something changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the commonality of mankind. And we have to get out of that if people are going to see God through our worship. We have to get out of that. Because there's some things that God has spoken. That's what we need to worship. We need to worship God, worship God's word. Because that's what God is. God is a spirit. You can hear. You can't see him. You can't touch him because he's a spirit. So how do we recognize God? We recognize God through what he's saying to us. Not only what was written in the Holy Scriptures, but God is still talking. God's word, God is still giving words. It didn't stop with the 66 books, y'all. It didn't stop there. He's still giving word. Why do you think people are still writing books? Why do you think people are writing books? Because they're hearing God. But there's never been a book that outsold the Bible. Isn't that some? We have to enter into the king's domain a certain way, and that's to worship. Do you not know, back in the days, especially the Bible days and the days of emperors and things like that, you could not come before the king any kind of way.
That's right.
You know, even with Nehemiah, you remember Nehemiah when he got word about his father's land. You know, he got word about his hometown. Should I say, if I make it simple, he got heard about where he got word about where he came from. And the Bible says that Nehemiah was sad before the king. Now, he was the king's cupbearer, so he was the most trustful person to the king, because the cupbearer actually drunk and ate before the king did. So if somebody was trying to poison the king, they would receive the poison and die, but the king would live. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the Bible says that Nehemiah came before the Lord, before the king, and he was sad and countenance. You know, it was a dangerous thing to come before the king with a sad countenance. But because the king loved Nehemiah, because Nehemiah was a faithful servant, he asked him what was wrong. You know, so can I take this little rabbit trail? Even when you come before God, if you're going to come before God sorrowful, you better have a good reason why you're coming before him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're coming before him out of self-pity, out of selfishness, out of the why me's and all this kind of stuff, God ain't going to hear you. He's going to dismiss you from that session. He ain't going to dismiss you from him, but he will dismiss that. He's like the psychiatrist. You ain't ready. I can't talk to you right now. Because if you come before, if you come before me that way, and you so wrapped up in yourself and you don't have an ear to hear, I can't help you. So therefore, you know, back then you had to watch how you came before the king. You know, so we have to even watch how we, when we are in the king's domain, we have to watch how we go in there. We got to watch how we operate. Any questions or comments?
I have something, Apostle.
Okay.
I agree as far as the family reunion part, as far as not doing what they do, so to speak. But I remember in the Bible where I believe it was Paul or someone said that I became all things to all men. Now, what we need to do is use wisdom, because if we're too heavenly bound and no earthly good, then what profit does the kingdom of God have for us drawing them in? So my point is that with wisdom, we should learn and we should be able to basically assess where the people are and not come down to where they are, but to be just that, the word I'm looking for is accessible for them to be able to come. Because sometimes the body of Christ is too stiff, so stiff that people just don't want to come our way. So, but with wisdom, if we present God, and I'm not saying be like the world, but to with wisdom to know how to basically catch the fish, because I have unsaved people in my family, and I don't speak hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, all the time to them. But in our conversation, of course, God always comes in there. And I can present that. I can present Christ to them, if I'm making myself clear. if I'm making myself clear, without losing who I am, my identity, and without them seeing me lose my identity as to who I am.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Lord was bringing me from a point of our lifestyle being a worship, our worship being our lifestyle. And when I talked about the family, coming around the family and the things that are common to you, it was a conduct thing.
Okay.
Now, like you said, Christianity is never stiff. It never has been stiff. Religion is stiff.
Okay,
now, if you got to walk around with a hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, every day, you go to work and they say good morning. You say, well, praise the Lord, God's been good to me. I mean, if you got to walk around like that, you just religious. You're practicing.
Yes, that's right.
But you're not living. You're practicing, but you're not living. No,
yes.
So by no means am I saying don't be sociable, because Paul did say, I became all things to all men that I might win some. So he knew he wasn't going to win everybody.
No, not at all.
But if I can get one or two out of the family, I've done what God has told me to do. But I guarantee, my thing was coming from the thing God was bringing me from a point of conduct.
Okay, very good, Pat.
This is the concern that God has with those who say they love him right now. It's because of the conduct, and remember I was talking about the dirt, the streets and things, and if you want to know anything about things that are going bad in the church, ask somebody on the streets, because the streets don't lie. Y'all know that, right? So the conduct. So I hear so many times that this pastor, and I'd be like, well, man, look, I promise y'all, I try to defend my brothers and sisters the best that I can. I really do. But when they are making their actions and their conduct so obvious, and they're leaving the door wide open for the enemy to wreak havoc on their ministry, how can you help them? That's the worship that I'm talking about that's being hindered.
Yes, I agree, Apostle. I agree. Amen.
Yeah, so I was coming from the
thing. The aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's true, we're too lax. We are too lax.
Oh, yeah, we're way too lax.
As a body. And that's where the power, and then we lose the power of God. The anointing.
Yeah.
And
that's the power, the domain. The domain.
Absolutely.
We lose that, let's go back to that scripture that you gave when Paul said, I became all things to all people that I might win some. But he never compromised. He never compromised his conduct.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
Well, if I want to win a crackhead, I'm not going to go smoke crack with him.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, if the Holy Spirit leads me, I go to where the crackhead smoke crack. That doesn't mean I'm going to say, let me get a hit of that pipe.
Amen. Amen. So true.
He was here.
So true. So true, Apostle. So true.
I think a key word is faith and love. When we spread the gospel, it's faith by words and by action, but that should also be demonstrated by love, our brother, and if we would love by God. And if we have no love for our brother, how can we say we love God when we haven't seen him? So that's another sign of really faith, So, how we carry ourselves is very, very important. If you're telling our people and acting in an unchristian, ungodly manner, you're putting out a message. And we want to make sure that we're not hypocrites, that we are spreading we're spreading the gospel, but we're doing it by words and action. We need to be careful about what we do and what we say.
So true.
Not just what we say, but our actions.
Yeah. My last scripture I want to present, and I just want to quote this, is that in Hebrews, I believe it's in Hebrews, it says, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when we come to God, we're actually coming to God. How do we come to God? We come to God in spirit and in truth, which is our worship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in coming to God in worship, we must believe that he is. Well, what is God? What do I believe that he is? He is self. We believe that he is self-existent.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that he is, that he has all power, you know, within himself to do whatever needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And because we come to him in worship and we believe who he is, that means that we are able to be rewarded because we diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
So if you're looking for some rewards, if you're looking for some special blessings, if you're looking for some special supernatural manifestations, believe that God is.
Amen.
We come to him in worship and believe that he is what you're seeking for, and then he will reward you because you diligently sought him. That word diligent means you kept at it. You wouldn't take no compromise, and your faith was there. You wasn't doubting if God could do it.
Amen.
I'm looking for God. I'm looking for this in God, and I know I'm going to find it. I know I'm going to find it. You know? And when you come to God, when you come to God like that, there's a guarantee through his word that he's going to reward you. Okay, go ahead.
It's also like the blind man who, you know, called out to Jesus, and but when he, you know, and Jesus responded. But anyway, when he called him, he knew that God could give him his sight back. Jesus could give him his sight back. He had no question about it. He wasn't asking, "Can is this possible? Can you do it?" Maybe when he called out to Jesus Christ, he knew that Jesus Christ could give him his sight. So it's by the mere faith and belief. God didn't say, would you like to write that back? You know, when he called him, he knew God already could see into him and knew that's what he wanted, and God gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
The blind man had that kind of faith, that kind of belief that he never saw at all in his life, but he knew that God could deliver. That's his pure faith and belief. When we come to God, we have to have the same belief and that same faith. And we also have to carry that out when we're interacting in the community.
Amen. You know who else believed when they called out the guy with the legion of demons? They
believe. That's why
they said,
"Why you
start messing with us?"
Because
they believe that he is.
They believe that he is, and he ain't them.
They just reward. You got us, Apostle. So true. Believe. You know,
yeah, they
did. Over there, because they believe. I'm telling you, all these people talking about they don't believe in God. They know who he is. They know who he is. They just choose not to. And they, and you choose your reward, whether you want to believe in God or not. Your reward is in heaven.
Wow, that's so true. Mm-hmm.
You know, your reward is before the throne of God. You choose your reward, acceptance or rejection. You know.
Wow.
You know, just like the man. Jesus gave the parable of the story about the man that came before the throne of God, and he said, I cast out demons in your name, I healed the sick in your name, and God was like, well, who are you? He said, I did all this stuff in your name, and basically God said, well, thank you for doing that, thank you for having the big ministry, thank you for running the stage, thank you for healing the sick, for raising the dead, you did mighty exploits, you did them in my name, but because your lifestyle was so messed up, you were a worker of iniquity. And that word iniquity in the Greek there means unauthorized. So your action makes you unauthorized to do things.
Wow, that's good.
So Can I fight a case in court for somebody? Sure, I can. I can go get lawyer books, law books, and things like that, and study them. But until I go to school, sit up under tutelage, and be certified, and be certified and licensed as an attorney, and I pass the bar exam, and until I go through all that, I'm not an attorney.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And that's what was going on in that scenario. Because he did not do things the way the word of God said, it made him a worker of iniquity, which means unauthorization, which also means sin. So sin makes you unauthorized.
Wow.
To do the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have you could take this Notre Dame football stadium and turn it into a church and, you know, put a roof on it and make it all pretty. You can sit 20, 30, 40,000 people at one time. But if your lifestyle is jacked up, if God don't pull the cover off you now, when you get to the throne of judgment, it's all going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And just imagine doing all that preaching, all that teaching, all that sweating, all that traveling, all that flying, all that, you know, baptizing, all that. Doing communions and all, you know, doing all this, administrating the church, and you're doing all this for 30, 40, 50 years, but you never got rid of that sin issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you come before God, and he said, you know, thank you very much. Susie got saved up under your ministry. Billy did. Philip got saved. You know, he was a drug addict. He gave his life to me. You know, I thank you for bringing Andrew to back to my fold. But you see that big old spot in the middle of you right there?
Wow.
I can't let you in.
So he preached all that and became a castaway.
A castaway. After
a
he castaway. Did all that.
All that. My God.
Know, it's just like somebody who builds a ship for themselves, but they leave out. It seems to be a minor detail, but it's a large detail.
Yes.
And they get out there on the ocean, and the waves begin to beat against the ship. And things, the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
A minor detail is because I believe it was the type of rivets that they used. They should have used a different kind. Minor detail. They used the right steel, they used the right everything else. But that minor detail caused them the shipwreck.
Yeah.
And they didn't have enough lifeboat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unprepared.
God. But out there. But you out there, but you unprepared. See all this renegade ministry. I don't know y'all.
I know.
If you are not being released from your leadership, you know, well, you might say, well, my leadership ain't right. He doing this, and he had this issue. Well, if your leadership got that much issue, go find another leadership to get up on somebody's right, so that you can be released the right way.
Amen. Amen.
You know, if you're a woman of God and your leadership have a problem with you ministering because you're a woman, and they won't let you minister because you're a woman, they got these issues, you need to go find somewhere where you can be edified so that you can be released.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get angry and go out and just start doing stuff.
That's
because
right.
Angry sheep begat angry sheep. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, we like playing that game Angry Birds on the phone.
Amen.
I said, Lord, there's so many angry birds in the church. And we're flying everywhere. We catapult everywhere. We just loose cannon.
So
you know,
true.
Just Rambo. You know, Rambo, when he was in that jungle trying to find certain people,
yeah,
he was shooting everything. He was shooting monkeys, tigers, lions, bears, oh my. You know, everything was getting shot, except for the people who he supposed to be shooting.
So true.
Hey, you got to be released the right way. I don't know how we got on the whole release, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm
going to
tell you this. It must be God. It must be God.
It's all
because
good.
One thing about it, I don't know, I can't remember what war it was. Maybe, Dr. Suzanne can help me with this, but I think it was the Chinese or the Japanese, one of them, They was trying. They had got a hold to some of the American bazookas, and what happened was they put the bazooka on their shoulder, and when they started firing the bazookas, they had the bazookas backwards.
Oh my God!
Yeah, and so because they were backwards, they were shooting their own people.
Wow.
So what happened, you know, and that's how we are in ministry, like, because we don't know how to. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God through the pulling down strongholds. But if we don't know how to pull down strongholds.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, we be pulling the wrong stuff.
Amen.
You know, we be pulling around.
Oh, true.
So we got to learn how to use our weapons, you know.
That's good.
And we have a manual to do so, and that's the Holy Bible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's
well,
the good
I'm done, Dr. Suzanne. I'm done.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. That's it. Oh, no, Apostle. You got to keep on now.
You got to keep going, because you can't just leave us with what you just said. I'm done.
We like dessert now.
Well, you know what? My wife says all the time, I say, man, you leave us at a point that makes us want to keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to leave you with something on your mind.
Okay.
You know, that's how Jesus taught the disciples. You know, they would ask him a question. He never gave them a direct answer.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave them something to think about.
Yeah.
You know, if we're ever going to be effective leaders and teachers in this earth, we got to start giving. We can't give people the answers all the time.
Amen.
Give them something to think about. Make them look for themselves. That's how they grow in God. But if you keep spoon feeding a child, well, you know, he get two, you still spoon feed him. He get to be five, you still spoon feed him. He get to be 10, 15, you still spoon feed him. You see what I'm saying? He will never learn how to dip the spoon in the bowl itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
So my thing is, well, okay, so if you want me to close this out tonight, this is what God is saying tonight. Through worshiping the king's domain, God says through worshiping my domain, he says through worshiping my dominion, through worshiping my power, you have to realize that when you come to me and you keep coming before me, you know, they say if a child be around a person long enough, they start looking like that person.
Amen, yes.
Here we go. If we keep going before God, before God, before God, before God, before, eventually we're going to start resembling the Spirit of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And remember, people will not necessarily see the Spirit of God on you, but they will feel. They will sense it. They will hear it, not feel, but they will sense it. They,
mm-hmm.
Now, the difference between sensing and feeling. Now,
mm-hmm.
they will sense it. They will have that encounter coming
mm-hmm.
from you. And all you have to do is do like Peter did. Peter walked. The Bible says Peter's shadow was healing people. He didn't touch
mm-hmm.
nobody, but his shadow. He didn't breathe on them. He didn't throw no water on them. He didn't pour no oil on them. But he was just walking past. And
that's
the mere
good.
Shadow of him was healing people from sicknesses and diseases. That's because he had become a resemblance of who God is.
Amen.
He was not who God is, but he became a resemblance of it. And therefore, you keep going before God, you start looking like him. Your spirit start being like him. You start sounding
Jesus.
Like him.
Thank
you
Jesus.
Have that essence of him. You will have that maturity of him. You know, and you don't have to have a Bible in your hand and a big cross around your neck.
Amen.
You can walk in. You can walk into Walmart, and you just got to paint your house. You got on shorts and T-shirt and some flip-flops. But somebody
Amen.
Will be in trouble, and they'll recognize the Spirit of God on you, and they'll ask you some questions, ask you to pray for them.
That's true. Amen.
You know, the world is full of them. The world is full of people that's in trouble, and they don't know how to get to God. You're their channel. They don't know how to worship God, but you're the statue. You want to talk about kingdom worship? You got to learn how to worship the King's domain and be who he has created you to be.
Amen.
Because he's man. He's not a man. He's not a man that he didn't lie. He didn't lie when he created you. He didn't lie when he called you. He didn't lie when he anointed you to do what you do. He didn't lie. He didn't lie. When you begin to speak in tongues, that was not a lie. That was your spirit of man, your spirit giving reverence to the spirit of God. That's not a lie.
Amen.
When you went, when you started to talk through trouble and trial and tribulation, God wasn't lying. Because he said in this life, you're going to have some of that. He said, but be of good cheer. I've already overcome. You know, so he didn't lie. When you went through that divorce, he didn't lie. When you were molested, he didn't lie. When you were raped, he didn't lie. When you were stabbed, shot, he didn't lie. God did not lie.
Amen.
He didn't lie.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's true to his word. You just went through some stuff so that the God can make you better. You know? So they asked the question, where is God?
In situation, there's kind of a problem that is, you know, beyond us. It may be a God-sized issue that has to be addressed by God. Not something that we can do as human beings, as big men. It's a God-sized issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you spoke earlier about the statue of worship or the model of worship. You know, you don't have to say a word when you're in the community and you're in the street. The streets don't lie. But anyway, it is what it is. So anyway, you go to church and, you know, put on this act and say this and say that, you know. But in reality, when you leave church, church should still be with you. And you should be that statue or that model of worship. So people can look at you and want to be like you. And in essence, be like Christ. Because that's who you represent. You're spreading the gospel. We have to be very careful and examine ourselves, make sure that we're doing exactly that.
Amen.
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 Any other?
Any more comments or questions?
I think there are going to be challenges in our lives that we don't understand. But anyway, we have a place to go to, and that's the Holy Spirit, the Bible, His Word, God's Word. And we have a framework that God keeps us in if we're with Him, you know, and we're doing what God wants. And God knows what we need and how to provide for it. But it's just like a blind man, you know, he didn't say, God, you know, we called up to Jesus. He didn't say, you know, I'm calling you because I need any sight. He just called Jesus, and Jesus knew what he needed and was able to provide it. But that's because of his belief, his faith, and it was often demonstrated by actions and words. Because he could have let Jesus just pass and not call him out.
Any comments?
No, I enjoyed this. This was good.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you all have joined us this evening, and thank you again to Apostle Samuel Chase. We really appreciate your teaching. We appreciate your ministry and what the Lord is doing with you and your family, your wife,
Amen.
And your children, and your spiritual children as well. Be blessed. Ministry to be blessed, and that you continue to be a blessing to your community and to all those that you reach out to. You have truly blessed us this evening. Again,
yeah.
Call listeners. All of our programs are archived, and if you go to blogtalkradio.com, that's one word, and then go to We Can Begin Again, and you'll find all of the archived programs there. I want you to know that our program, our listening audience has grown tremendously. Our archives, especially, the numbers have grown. So we're way over 900 and more, and we're moving looking out for. If you would all share this station, share our program with all of your Facebook and social network friends, we'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Chase, did you want to make yourself any of your information available to our listeners?
Yeah, you can contact our ministry at any time at area code 574-903-9484. You can go on our website, www.kingdompower.com. You can email us as well. That's on our website as well. So all our information is there. But the best way to contact us and get in contact with us through calling us 574-903-9484.
Thank you very much. And if you would like us on Facebook, that's New Beginnings Ministries. On Facebook, you'll see a picture of the eagle right there on our Facebook page. It's a profile picture and a handsome picture of my husband there. Go through the Please visit that Facebook page and like us on Facebook. Leave a message for us, too. Add your comments. We do listen to your comments. We listen to the messages. When you go on to blogtalkradio.com, also leave a comment on there for us and share. Share the numbers. Share the site with your friends. I'm going to begin to close, but I want to talk about meeting God in praise real quick and give you a few more scriptures to hold on to.
Okay.
We praise for God's promise, practicing the discipline of scripture study. You can look at Jeremiah 31, verse 3 to 14 for a reference. Another homework assignment, practicing the discipline of confession. Look at Hosea 14. Practicing the discipline of community. Ephesians 5, 8 through 21. It's important that we practice, that we have fellowship with the body of Christ. Silence. It's important for us to find solitude and have sanctuary even in our homes. That's John 14, verses 16 to 18. Practicing the discipline of obedience. We must look to the Holy Spirit for our guidance and not go out as loose cannons and do what we want to do, but make sure that we're in God's will. That's Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16, and practicing the discipline of prayer. Psalm 147, verses 1 to 11, the way that we communicate with our Lord is through prayer. So I thank you this evening for this time that we've had together. In closing, I'd like to again say thank you so much. Remember to visit the archives. We have quite a library of research and study there, and input from you, our listeners, is so valuable, and that's also saved there, too. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the discussion, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your word that's gone forth, for the scriptures that have been shared, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for every comment, Father God, and every heart that's been present, Father God, and worshiping you and learning more about worshiping in the kingdom, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you would examine our hearts, Father God, and if there be any sins of omission or commission, that you would reveal them, Lord, so that we can become the people that you have called us to be, dear Lord. That this has not been about us, Father God, but it's been about the kingdom, Father God. So we worship you, we praise you, Father God. We ask you, Lord, for strength. We ask you, Lord, to bless each and every household that's around the microphone and around on the radio and computer this evening, Father God, and everyone that will ever listen to it, Father God, that they too would be blessed. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, amen.
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 Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless.
To do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask for things, according to the power that worketh in us.
Hallelujah. How many believe it tonight? Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's able. Tell somebody else, he's able. Ready?
Exceedingly,
all you could ask for him, according to the power that works in Anybody ever wanted to throw in the towel? Anybody know God to be able? Don't give up on God when He won't give up on you. He's able. If you know He's able tonight, give Him a praise.